And now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A. It's Talk of the Town. Today is the Thursday Roundtable. Talk of the Town is sponsored by House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Cottonwood Area Transit, Barrett Propane, Augie's Restaurant, Cliff Castle Casino, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, Sanford Cohen.
And how's it going, everybody? We are going to be taking a quick break because joining us live after the break is the president of the Arizona State Senate, Karen Fan. She's going to be joining us live here in studio. We've got lots of stuff to talk about with regard to what's happening, not just in the Capitol, but also news in general. So Senate President Fan will be here with us live. And then a little bit later on, I'm going to share with you what I learned this week. And believe you me, it is not pretty. But we're going to take a quick break, get Senate President Fan in here, and start the conversation here on the roundtable when we return on KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com. Back with Senate President Karen Fan after this.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett. Think back to a simpler time when things like home delivery of milk and bread came to your door. Now even getting the mail delivered is being questioned. It's good to know that since 1960, folks here in Yavapai County have relied on the Barrett family. From staying warm to cooking, drying clothes, and other needs, you can count on Barrett Propane, just as families have for three generations. You have my name on it. Call us today at 636-1600. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Good news from Roxanne at Prescott Brewing Company. If you've been missing any of your faves from Prescott Brewing Company, we now have 11 beers on tap for growler fills. Wednesdays through Fridays, 11 to 3 p.m., you can get them filled up right from our taps. Come through the clearly marked atrium gate, stay socially distant, step up to the bar when it's your turn, get your clean growler filled, pay your tab, tip your tap tender, and walk away with that potion you love through the exit atrium gate. Wednesdays through Fridays for now, 11 to 3, from Prescott Brewing Company in the heart of downtown Prescott.
Gaxiola and Litwack, your criminal defense team in Arizona. Call 602-717-0631 or visit their website, www.gaxiolalitwack.com.
We have 25 years of solid trial experience handling cases from first-degree murder, drug cases, to assault cases. We have the experience, reputation, and dedication to assist anyone in any court across the state of Arizona.
We look through every piece of evidence to find and fight every potential constitutional violation. We aim to win by leaving no stone unturned, to form early and aggressive strategies to fight the government at trial, because we actually care, and because there's two sides to every story that deserve to be told.
Gaxiola and Litwack, your criminal defense team in Arizona. Call 602-717-0631 or visit their website, www.gaxiolalitwack.com.
From our family to yours, we want to encourage you to keep going, keep being fearless, and most of all, keep dreaming. If you have any concerns about your policy coverage or about making payments, please call us at 1-800-MY-AMFAM or visit amfam.com. We'll keep being here when you need us. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec V Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And I'd like to welcome back to KQ&A's Thursday Roundtable, Arizona State Senate President Karen Fan. And first question I got to ask is, the Senate is basically closed up shop, right, as of like May 8th?
Sort of.
Yeah. Well, at least for the time. But the House is making a big deal about how they are reconvening and passing all kinds of bills and things, none of which, of course, the Senate is obligated to take up, correct?
Right. And so consequently, you know, and I do not badmouth my House members because, you know, we try and work together. We have Republican majorities in both of them. I will tell you that for the last 4.5-5 weeks, the Senate has been, while we've been on this recess since we passed the skinny budget on March 23rd, you know, we have been asking for an agenda from the House as to where, if we are able to come out of this and go back and do some work, let's start working on a plan. My leadership team, we meet every Tuesday morning and keep our stuff all teed up. And quite honestly, I couldn't get anything out of them. And you saw the antics that was going on, and it was just getting worse over there, right? Instead of getting better, now we have people down there protesting, and we've got people threatening each other and going on the radio and threatening their colleagues. And it just got worse. And they just weren't getting it together. So we finally just said, 2 weeks ago tomorrow, we said, or was it a week ago Friday? Which day was it? I'm losing track. You know, we as the Senate just said, this is crazy. If they can't get everything together, we need to shut it down because we're going to do special session anyway. We've got to do one for economic development and this liability for businesses and those kind of things. And we've got to do a second one for budget and do all that. So we just said, you know what? Signy die, which means we sent the message over to say we are done with our work, ready to signy die. Now, we're not signy died until they accept that signy die.
And what does that word actually mean? What is this?
End of day.
End of day.
Latin for end of day.
Okay.
So they didn't accept it. So, but it did something that we really did secretly kind of wanted, is this was our way to say, you know, either get your act together or let's get out of here so we can go to work in special session. So in essence, it really did sort of pull them out a little bit. And so they said, okay, now we're going to do all this and we're going to do all these bills. Now, we are adamant over in the Senate that we aren't doing legislation behind closed doors. And I have said, before we open up committees or do anything else like that, those front doors better be open so that the public can come in, the media can come in. We're not doing it. Senate, the House, they were a little different, and they said, no, we're going to do things like Zoom, and our rules, we only have to post the agenda at 5 o'clock the night before at the front desk, and then they had 8 o'clock budget or committee meetings, and we just don't do that in the Senate. If they want to do it there, that's their prerogative, but we don't in the Senate. So they are supposed to be signy-dying tonight, and if they do, then we will call our members back in for Tuesday, and we'll get whatever we can get done on Tuesday.
Well, you mentioned something that's a real hot button for me, and that is liability protection for mm-hmm. business people in the wake of the COVID-19. And to me, aside from prescription drugs, about the other ad that you see more often in all the media have to do with lawsuits for various products and liabilities and whatever. And I just thought this would be a feeding frenzy, especially as you reopen the economy. Someone goes into a store and they go home and get tested and they get COVID-19, and they're going to blame the store owner. Well, what can we do to help prevent something like that from happening?
Thank you. And that's good because we all have those same concerns. And this is a bipartisan effort. You know, we have a lot of members that our own Democratic members down there are small business owners, and they're just as worried. So this is not a partisan. It's a bipartisan issue. So what we're working on, we actually have two bills that are going. We have one bill that a few of the legislators have been working on over the last week and a half, and it's gone through the gamuts of it's not constitutional, it's this, it's that, and everything else. I've got some of the chambers that are pushing back and saying, you know, they've completely missed A, B, and C here. You know, they took care of D, E, and F. So that bill actually is going to the House floor this afternoon for a vote, and it's probably going to get out on a 31-29 vote because the Republicans all want to stick together and try and do this. But there is some question about the constitutionality of that bill. In the meantime, we have another senator who has been working for the last 2 weeks with the chambers and everybody else, and getting a lot more stakeholders stakeholder input from hospitals and businesses and small mom and pop businesses, everybody, to find out what is it we need to do to protect them. But remember, there's that fine line. If somebody is negligent, if we do have a business owner that didn't do what they were supposed to do, then they should be held responsible for
that. And there is exactly my issue, and that is you don't need to demonstrate your compliance with health, guidelines in order to get sued. And that's the thing that really, troubles me is that, regardless of how responsible you want to make the business owner for, compliance to the, that doesn't stop lawyers from suing people. And that's where a lot of the cost and the agony and everything is in having to defend the initial claim. And so to me, I don't know how to do this, but there would have to be some way of having to fully substantiate the negligence before they could even be allowed to file a claim. Otherwise, basically, you can just, shotgun, lawsuits against every business person you can think of, and then it's up to them to have to come in and defend. Well, we only allowed one person in at a time, and we made everybody wear a mask, and we stood 6 feet away. It's like, well, to me, it doesn't help the situation if the lawyer is allowed to sue you and then you've got to go into court to prove that you're innocent.
That's exactly right. And the magic is in the words, preponderance of evidence or clear and convincing, or it all depends on what those words are. And it's always that fine delicate, which is why you need to make sure that you do it exactly right. So it's constitutional. If it violates the Arizona Constitution, then we've done all this for nothing.
I'm almost inclined to create a COVID court that would be a special court that would just hear COVID cases, and paralegals would do it, and it would just be like an arbitration thing, and it wouldn't be a whole big superior court kind of thing. But that's, that's just me. Other thing I wanted to talk to you about too is how are we looking for fiscal 2021, because, obviously things did not turn out the way we thought they would when we put this budget together for fiscal 2020. Have you been able to make any adjustments in next year's budget? And if so, what are the highlights of that?
There's good news in spite of all of this. So we actually started last September. We started working on the budget because that was one of my priorities as Senate president, is saying we're not doing it this last minute anymore. This stupid staying up in the middle of the night trying to pass budgets is ridiculous. We're not doing that anymore. So we started working on the budget in September. So by the time this started hitting us in March and we said, uh-oh, we've got a problem, we were almost done. So we had all the numbers of where we were, what we were going to do. Now, the good news is we have $1 billion in our rainy day fund. We've been very conservative as a state. We've put money away, so we have the $1 billion. The second good news is that our economy has been so great. We had this extra between $600 and $700 million that, besides our savings and everything else, we were going to put more money into infrastructure, more money into this and that and everything else. When this hit, we said, put the brakes on, time out till we know how bad this is going to be or what it's going to take. And so we did what we called a skinny budget. We literally got our members together. I actually had to get the Democrat Senate leadership team, because we had to actually kind of do it quietly in my office, because there were shenanigans that were going on the floor with some of our members that were going to try and throw a bunch of stuff in there that should never be there. So
kind of like similar to like Pelosi's coronavirus stimulus bill.
So we had to be very careful about this. So we did, and we did it as a bipartisan effort, and we said, look, here's what we got to do. We're just going to take this $600+ million out, just set it off to the side. It doesn't mean it's gone. It just means let's not do it. So we're going to pass this skinny budget, and we'll see where we go. And so consequently, we will be having a special session in 30-45 days, now that we will have better numbers to come off of, and we can see how we need to adjust that budget.
I think really in view of what's gone on throughout the country, and I don't know if you share this view, but that Arizona actually fared pretty well overall. I mean, granted, you know, the lives that were lost and the people that were impacted by the COVID virus, I'm not trying to make light of any of that. Literally, you know, aside from the Navajo Nation, which is a situation unto itself, the state of Arizona generally handled it almost the same way as you would if you had just a bad flu, really.
We really did. And it was one of those scary things that, you know, our governor works very closely with President Trump and Vice President Pence. So he was literally on the phone practically every day with them, following their guidelines, because we really wanted to make sure that we were trying to do the good things. Now, at the time when it started out, you know, we really didn't know how quickly this was going to move. It was something new, no vaccine. So everybody was trying not to overreact, but you certainly couldn't afford to underreact either. So it's been that fine, delicate line. And yeah, towards that last little bit, it was getting pretty ugly. People were tired of being stuck at home. And because we did so well, they were saying, you know, enough, let's open back up. So the governor did step up, and he actually started releasing things earlier. He listened to the constituents and he did it. Now, I will say, please, please, please remember, just because we are opening back up, the virus is still out there. It did not go away, folks, just because we're now like to go back. The only thing we did was stop the catastrophic spread all at once that would have overwhelmed us, and our facilities would never have been able to handle it. But the virus is there, so please, with you go out, to make sure that you keep washing your hands. When you come back to your homes, go straight to the sink and wash your hands, and make sure that you don't bring those germs back into your home or your vehicles.
In retrospect, in your opinion, do you think we learned anything that under these kinds of circumstances, we maybe were a little bit too hard on the rural areas as opposed to, you know, trying to limit gatherings of large masses of people in the major cities in Arizona?
Yes, absolutely. And again, that was something we learned, because if you're dealing with a new virus, you're not quite sure what to expect. But I do believe that once we saw those initial numbers coming out and how the numbers were tracking, we probably could have at least lightened up on our rural areas much quicker. And I did convey that to the governor. And I said, you know, this is not Maricopa, Yavapai County. For so long, we only had, 76 cases and one death. And I said, you know, that's not it. What I will tell you very quickly, though, Sanford, is right after the primary, what I am going to do is I'm going to set up some task force meetings, because this was all 50 states and the nation. We all got hit with it, and we all learned things of what we did. In fact, when I'm going to a conference in July. That's going to be the topic that we're going to be talking about with all the other Senate presidents and everybody, of what did we do well, what did we didn't. For example, it was very clear that we were not able and prepared to flip that switch and go from public schools classroom to online training. Mm-hmm. We were so unprepared for that. We can do better with that. We can do better with trying to make sure that from the medical facilities and how we handle all this, how we do it. And quite honestly, I want to have one that's going to deal with our Constitution and what authority does the governor and the mayors actually have. It's not picking on anybody, but you saw different states did it different way, and I'd sure like to have some answers that if this comes up again, you know what? This is what you have authority for. Anything over that, You're crossing that line, and you're not going to do it. So,
well, you may not want to pick on anybody, but I certainly don't feel it necessary to not call out people like Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan or Andrew Cuomo in New York or J.B. Pritzker in Illinois, places where these people just went berserk. I mean, in terms of wanting to shut down the economy. For what purpose is something I'm going to talk about in the second half of our show, what I've learned. We're going to take a quick break. We're with Arizona Senate President Karen Phan, and we're going to talk about elections when we return live on KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at KQ&A.com.
tough times, Cottonwood Area Transit and Verde Links are here for you, offering a free ride for those necessary trips to the grocery, pharmacy, work, or doctor. Monday through Friday on Cat, 7 days a week on Links. Rest assured, we're taking extra measures to disinfect our buses to keep you safe. To check on routes and schedules, please go to www.ride-cat.com.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last independent agents in Prescott.
Hi, I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle Brothers. You gotta admit, Ted, we get pretty popular in the summer.
I know, Adam. We get service calls from all over the Prescott area.
And we also get quite a few from Cottonwood, Clarkdale, and Sedona.
How do you know that?
A little Verdi told me.
Oh, brother.
That's me.
Keep your cool with a quick call to Gettle's High Desert Mechanical, serving all of Yavapai County. G-O-E-T-T-L. Visit GettlesHDM.com. Don't settle. Get Gettle's High Desert Mechanical heating, cooling, and plumbing.
You have probably heard that all good things take time, but at A&E Reaper Graphics, we deliver great printing now, with same-day and next-day services available for so many of your marketing or personal printing needs. Don't wait a week for your print signs and custom designs. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us online, or call 442-9116. Even Amazon can't offer that prime of a service. At A&E Reaper Graphics, we're proud to be your one-stop print shop.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
Hello. we just got to chatting and just forgot the time. I'm here with Senate President Karen Fan, and I want to talk about the upcoming election. You mentioned the primary that's going to be coming up, and you guys took up elections as a as an issue in the Senate. It was a Senate Bill 1135. Talk a little bit about what you hope will happen with regard to our elections, and do you have any reason to believe that we should be on the lookout for any kind of, I don't know, fraud or miscalculation of the election results based on what's happened recently?
So this is a big debate, because the minute you say that there might be fraud out there, the other side just screams and yells and, oh, it's a big conspiracy theory and stuff. But I will tell you, there is election fraud out there. It has been proven. It has been documented. Now, to what extent, it depends on which area. Couple of things that we are looking out for is, and not necessarily this happens, but right now there is a bill, that it actually, you know, the computers now, the voting machines, there is like this little, I think it's an SDI card as opposed to an SMI card, SDI card that is actually has all the data on all of those ballots that were cast. And it's my understanding, in Maricopa County at least, is that those things are just, somebody just takes them down to the election headquarters and they download it. And there's no one that is backing up. So one of the bills is just like we do with the ballot boxes from our rural areas, the bill would say we want two Republicans and two Democrats that will escort that chip to the area where we download it. So that's one thing. Second thing is the huge battle going on about, you know, oh, it's COVID, so we got to do all mail-in ballots. You know, in Arizona, we are pretty easy about this. All you got to do is go online or pick up the phone, and we will put you on the early voting permanent ballot. You can get mail-in. I've done mail-in myself for, I don't know, 10 years at least now, because I don't my schedule. So we're very easy about that. But no, what some of them wanted to do is just say, oh, well, people don't have time to call in, or they don't do this, so we're just going to automatically mail ballots out to everybody. Do you realize the amount of fraud that could happen with that? Because if you didn't even ask for the ballot, now there are tens of thousands of ballots that are literally just floating around as if it were like junk mail, you know, because people aren't even looking for their ballot. Because so – yeah, there's, this is why we don't do all mail-in ballots, because it will increase the fraud.
And do we or do we not allow people to gather ballots from other people and take them en masse to a polling place and dump them in the box?
No, we have put a stop to that. They used to do that called ballot harvesting, and oh yeah, people would go around and say, here's what's interesting is, and you can see the ads. I mean, I have Twitter post flyers where, like, the unions down there and some of the other folks, they literally will host parties, beer, hot dogs, bring the kids, this and that and the other. Bring your ballots with you. We will help you fill them out and turn them in for you. I mean, come on. Seriously, we're going to do free beer and hot dogs and games for the kids in exchange for you to bring your ballot down, and we'll help you fill it out and take it in for you. I don't know.
We've only got a couple of minutes left with Arizona Senate President Karen Fann, and I wanted to ask you just in general, it seems as though the temperature of the dialogue between legislators and also between legislators and the public just seems to be like at 211.5 degrees. Like, it only takes like a half a degree for it to reach the boiling point. How concerned are you regarding the fact that there are these ways in which legislators and the voters communicate via social media that doesn't a lot of times lend itself towards exaggeration, downright lying? I mean, you know, how can you communicate amongst yourselves as lawmakers when you have these people that basically can just make stuff up and then put it out on the internet, and before you know it, it gets circulated? Some of the media people even pick it up and print it, and of course you never see the retraction later on, but functioning in that kind of arena, I would imagine it's a little tougher these days.
It's awful, Sanford. It is, you know, with good comes bad, and it's great that we have the internet and Twitter and all those things to get our news faster, but it has also created this whole thing where, based under anonymity, I can never say
anonymity.
That
anonymity.
Thank you.
Anonymity. But it should be an anonymity, yes.
That, if you don't look at somebody in their face and their eyes, it's so much easier just to lie. It is so much easier to put falsehoods. And there's a lot out there. And people are just downright mean right now sometimes. And so they'll put things on your Facebook. They'll put things, you know, out there and Twitter and everything else that are just plain false. Look at what President Trump is going through. I mean, the lies that, with all due respect, the media does, and the Democratic Party and some of the things they do. And as you said, look at the stuff that is now coming up where they're all like having to admit, well, yeah, it never was really true. It was a rumor or somebody said.
Well, you can only say one thing under oath. You can say anything you want when you're out in the world. And there's something wrong with that, I think. If you can be charged with perjury for lying under oath, you should be able to be charged with something for being out there and besmirching people and lying about them, even though there is a record that under oath you knew absolutely nothing.
Exactly. And that's part of the deal is, you know, we don't hold people accountable anymore. It's, you know, the process is just so hard. And, you know, quite honestly, it sells papers too sometimes.
So are you still enjoying your time as president of the Senate?
I am. It's a challenge every day because I'm trying to thread this needle, and it's difficult because I have members who are all over the spectrum. So, yeah, I'm like it. There's some days I come home at night and I'm going, geez, I can't make anybody happy. But you get a good night's sleep and you go back in and you say, okay, let's try this again.
Do you feel that outside of the legislative arena that the Republican Party in Arizona is in a good place, or is there still some work to be done? Are you willing to do anything to kind of help bring the people together and kind of unify under a message?
Well, we are, and we're trying, and obviously that's one thing that I do think we can do better in Arizona as a Republican Party, is that we need to unify more. You know, we've got our state party and those folks over there that are doing their thing. You know, the governor has his thing. We have our Senate and House folks that we're doing that. So, you know, trying to raise money for reelections, we know that there is going to be tens of millions of dollars that is going to be dropped into Arizona because this is their number one target. They want to flip Arizona blue. They want that second Senate seat, and they want to take over the House and the Senate with anticipation that with the governor being termed out in 2 years, that they'll be able to flip that as well and make us completely blue.
I must say that it concerns me when I see ads for Mark Kelly, for instance, where he does not identify his party. He literally calls himself an independent.
Right.
And you would have no way of knowing that he was running as a Democrat, as if that brand has some sort of stigma to it, and they know it. And so they're trying to run away from it rather than run under it.
Yeah. They are absolutely following the Kyrsten Sinema playbook that she did a couple of years ago. And she ran a good campaign, but one of the reasons why she did it is you didn't see her come out and, you know, identify, I'm a Democrat and I'm a socialist and I'm doing all this. She had that message of, you know, hey, our family was poor. You know, I lived out of a car for a year. Remember all those ads? And it worked for her. And so that's what they're doing with Mark Kelly. They're using the same playbook this year.
Well, so you're thinking that there's going to be a special session that's going to reconvene in 30 days or so?
30 to 45 days. We're planning on having at least two special sessions.
And I know that in the rainy day fund, there was some money that was actually allocated to the governor for public health. I think like $55 million.
COVID. It was for COVID stuff. Yes.
And is that going to be enough? You think there's going to be more coming?
Or? Oh, goodness. We've gotten $1.8 billion from COVID money from the Fed. So all of that. That $50 million was basically kind of something to get us going and started, knowing that we knew the COVID money would be coming in pretty soon. And then we also, because we're still under a state of emergency, we do still qualify for FEMA and DEMA money, and a lot of that money comes down to our local. You know, that can go to cities and towns, fire districts, things like that, and it can actually go to individual people. It's like if there's a flood and you lost your home, that's FEMA and DEMA money that helps individuals. So we'll be able to get some of that money as well on top of the COVID money. Now, I will tell you one thing quickly is the good thing about this is we're getting over it and trying to keep people's head above water while we were all shut down. But we have also put our nation into much bigger debt.
Yep.
And the Democrats on Washington want to do another $3 trillion, the House, $3 trillion stimulus package. And you should see the stuff that's in that package.
I have seen it.
Yeah.
It's an abomination. It's a sin. For them to pull this stuff out with a straight face and claim that it has anything to do with COVID.
Yeah. Oh, no. And a lot of it's going to, like, these Democrat states that are so underwater because they've overspent and haven't been money to bail out all of their pension funds and everything else. And, you know, I just said, nope, as far as Arizona's concerned, we're not taking it.
Well, again, this is one of the things that I learned, which I will be talking about after we let President Fan go, and that is, you know, some of the mismanagement that has gone on in these blue states, and they are now using this pandemic as an excuse to try and somehow make states like ours that have budgeted ourselves wisely, that have gotten through these bad times by hoarding our money and keeping it on the ready, they want us to bail their stuff out. And it's like, nah, we're the United States, but we're not united in the pocketbook.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been fiscally conservative, and we've saved and been prudent, so you're 100% right. You know, why should we put our nation more in debt than it already is to bail out states that are not fiscally responsible?
Well, thank you so much for dropping in here on this Thursday roundtable. I think you're doing a magnificent job under some very trying circumstances, and we'll just stay in touch. I see the dialogue that goes on Facebook, most of it great. Occasionally there's some folks on there that are a little bit nuts, but hey, you gotta, it takes all kinds to make a world, Karen.
It does.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and take some news, and then I'm going to spend a few minutes telling you what I've learned right here on the roundtable on KQNA AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com. We'll be right back.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service, Sales, and Rentals, and we're proud to be a long-time local business with three locations to serve you. Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69 in Prescott Valley and Dewey, and online all the time at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV,
bringing family and lifestyles together.
If you can't chew it, odds are your garbage disposal can't either. This is Jeremy Rushton with Yavapai Plumbing and Heating. It's not uncommon to end up with something in your garbage disposal that was never meant to be there. We get it. So that's why right now, we're offering $25 off any garbage disposal replacement, whether it's eggshells or a pan of grease.
Uh-oh, I've done that.
It's $25 off. Call Yavapai Plumbing and Heating today at 776-7025 or visit us online at ypeinc.com.
This is Steve Sishko with Olson's for Healthy Animals. One of the things that's always impressed me about difficult times is how pets and animals raise people's spirits. They're non-judgmental and don't pay a bit of attention to social distancing. They love you whether you wear a mask or not and always listen when you're pouring your heart out to them. That's why you should give them the best, and that's at Olson's. You can settle for good enough, or give your best friends the Olson's difference when buying their food, health supplies, toys, and treats. For the last 41 years, we've been feeding pets and animals with the philosophy of good enough just isn't. We offer in-store service, curbside, and delivery from all of our stores in Chino, Prescott, Dewey, Humboldt, Flagstaff, and Clarkdale. Experience us at our stores on Facebook, Olson'sFamily.com, or Olson'sGrain.com. Locals feeding locals pets and animals. That's us.
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Thanks for joining KQ&A's Talk of the Town. I'm DJ Phone with your Thursday check of local and state news and weather together, brought to you by Affinity RV. A traumatized state lawmaker recounts the horror of last night's shooting at the Westgate Entertainment District. Glendale Democrat Martin Quezada says he was on a Zoom conference at his home in the district when he heard gunshots. He says at first he wasn't sure if this was an actual shooting. Then as he saw people flee from the area,
I saw the shooter walking towards my window. I saw him. He was wearing a mask. He was carrying his weapon. He was walking slowly and calmly. And as I watched him, he appeared to be reloading his weapon.
After hearing the gunfire stopped, Quezada says he went outside and checked on some people to see if they were okay. The senator says he talked to people about what he saw, but the power to his home was out for hours. Police captured 20-year-old Armando Hernandez Jr. Three people have been hurt in the attack, and the suspect has admitted to the shooting. Sunny and warm days, crisp, clear nights toward a windy, warmer holiday weekend and back to work. Chilling after bedtime to a clear 47 in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt. Then highs Friday and Saturday near 76, Sunday 78, Monday 83, up near 90 Wednesday. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, cooling overnight to near 51, sunny highs tomorrow and Saturday, a very breezy 86, Sunday 88. Memorial Day 93, up to 100 by Wednesday. Your KQ&A News and Weather this hour is a service of Affinity RV. Have a great Thursday evening and stay tuned. Talk of the Town, the Thursday Roundtable, will continue in a moment on KQ&A.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett. Think back to a simpler time when things like home delivery of milk and bread came to your door. Now even getting the mail delivered is being questioned. It's good to know that since 1960, folks here in Yavapai County have relied on the Barrett family. From staying warm to cooking, drying clothes, and other needs, you can count on Barrett Propane, just as families have for three generations. You have my name on it. Call us today at 636-1600. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
During tough times, Cottonwood Area Transit and Verde Links are here for you, offering a free ride for those necessary trips to the grocery, pharmacy, work, or doctor. Monday through Friday on CAT, 7 days a week on Links. Rest assured, we're taking extra measures to disinfect our buses to keep you safe. To check on routes and schedules, please go to www.ride-cat.com.
Mom, look at the hood I drew.
Aw,
Oh, it's so pretty, and I love the message.
We are one.
Hey, let's tape it to the window.
Okay.
With the outbreak of COVID-19, we're staying home more and seeing less of friends, neighbors, and coworkers. But COVID-19 cannot break the bond that connects us in the Quad Cities. That shines through in the messages of hope taped to the windows of our homes, the donations to support those who have suffered loss, the hard work that keeps our grocery store shelves stocked, and the smiles beneath the masks of restaurant staff delivering curbside orders. To our community during this difficult time, thank you from Yavapai Regional Medical Center. We are one. And we are inspired by you.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
Well, big thank you to Arizona Senate President Karen Fan for an excellent chat in the first half of our show. We've got a few minutes left over to talk about what I've learned, and I want to share that with you, some of which you probably already know. But it comes up with one big question that I still have not gotten a good answer to. So let's just kind of take it point by point. First of all, when the virus first became known in late December, early January, the vaunted Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is on the board of several, I would call them socialist medicine boards, and not anyone that is a friend of capitalism by any means. No big deal. No, you don't need a mask. Then he says a mask is mandatory. First, the virus is going to kill like 2 million people in this country. Well, now it looks like it's going to be more like 125,000, which is still a lot. But we've had bad flus before that, you know, that kill people like that. And we didn't shut down the entire country. So my big question, why is it okay to gather in the hundreds at grocery stores, but single business people who are much more likely to control the number of customers that can come into their door one at a time, why do they have to close down? It's a head scratcher, isn't it? Why on earth? It makes no sense. Why would you allow big buildings with lots of people to commiserate together to buy groceries, not clothes, not garden tools, but at least groceries? Why would you allow that to take place, but you can't knock on the door of a local shoe store or a jewelry store or a repair shop and the owner can let you in one person at a time? To me, that's safer. And so shutting down all of these small business people, I think, was a terrible decision. I would almost say idiotic, unless there was a hidden agenda to doing it. And trying to create more uncertainty, more unhappiness, more unemployment, more distress. Try to make people more dependent on government and just literally grind them into the dirt. And then try to get them to accept that we blame the president for this. And this, I think, really is the sinister purpose of all this. I'm going to take you back to just after the inauguration, because this is something that I've brought up a bunch of times, and it still stays with me to this very day. Chuck Schumer, the Senate minority leader, was the majority leader with Obama. Chuck Schumer, 6 ways to Sunday, he said, when newly elected President Trump was discounting the what turned out to be the deep state or the anti-Trump forces within the intelligence community and so on. Chuck Schumer warned them. They've got six ways to Sunday to get you. And boy, did they. You had Obama people that used an indictment against Michael Flynn to try to trash Trump. You had the Mueller investigation, which went on forever and turned up nothing and wasted a bunch of money. You had the impeachment thing. Does anybody remember why President Trump got impeached? Do you remember? It was because of that phone call to the Ukrainian president, in which the Ukrainian president said, nobody pressured me. Everything was fine. He got impeached for that. While at the same time, Joe Biden said that when he was vice president, on tape, on video, said, I told him, fire that prosecutor or you're not getting the $1.5 billion and son of a bee, they fired him. Where's the impeachment there? Now, the investigations have gone forward, and what we're finding out is that all of these Obama minions that were running around on TV talking about how Trump is Putin's puppet and, and Russia is running the Trump administration and we're in the bag for Russia and Putin. And meanwhile, all the time they were saying these, they were also testifying under oath behind closed doors, and that testimony was being kept secret. Well, thanks to Attorney General William Barr, those things were finally revealed. And what did they reveal? They revealed that Samantha Power, Susan Rice, Farkas, Clapper, Brennan, what they said publicly under oath was exactly the opposite. I don't know anything. No, we have no evidence. But publicly, they just trashed Donald Trump. These people were lying. They were lying to you, and they were lying to the country. And why were they doing that? Because they were trying to undermine the president. Why? Because the president was trying to undo a lot of the transformation that Obama tried to do in his 8 years in office. And they, those Marxist socialists, what they wanted to do is they wanted to stop Trump from unraveling the ridiculous regulations and policies that messed up our economy and our foreign policy. So now as I've learned, they've got six ways from Sunday. Now you turn the corner on an election year and the Chinese pandemic is released. And in some places, mostly blue states, as it turns out, but in some places, in a couple swing states like Pennsylvania and Michigan, but in New York in particular, the New York governor there, Cuomo, and by the way, these are the people that have been trying to, you know, get the state of New York to subpoena Trump's tax returns, and they've just been harassing this man since the day he took office. But Andrew Cuomo, he sent COVID-19 positive patients that were being treated back into nursing homes, which then created a pandemic within a pandemic. The most defenseless people in the view of the coronavirus are the elderly. They have underlying health issues. And idiot Andrew Cuomo sent these people out of the hospitals and back into the nursing homes where 50% of the COVID deaths in New York took place. And then, what do you think happens after that? Andrew Cuomo blames the president, saying that he had the inadequate response. He did not provide enough. Well, he provided hospital ships. He built hospitals. He got all kinds of industries to start producing ventilators by the gazillions, so much so that New York didn't even need them. They ended up exporting them to other countries. So I said at the beginning that I was going to tell you what I learned. And so I learned something pretty darn important, and I'm going to tell you what it is when we return. We are live on Talk of the Town, KQ&A, AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and we're streaming live worldwide at KQ&A.com. We'll be right back.
Tough times, Cottonwood Area Transit and Verde Links are here for you, offering a free ride for those necessary trips to the grocery, pharmacy, work, or doctor, Monday through Friday on Cat, 7 days a week on Links. Rest assured, we're taking extra measures to disinfect our buses to keep you safe. To check on routes and schedules, please go to www.ride-cat.com.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 White Spar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
Want to stay nice and cool all summer long? Get Gettles High Desert Mechanical Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing for all your air conditioning and plumbing needs. Serving central and northern Arizona with fast, reliable service. The guys and gals at Gettles get it. Make sure your AC is ready for the summer heat with a visit from one of Gettles' knowledgeable technicians. Offering air conditioning and plumbing repair service. Call Gettles at 772-2751 or go online to GettlesHDM.com.
Oh, say can you see?
It's not every day you hear a British person singing the national anthem, but success is about getting the right attention. At A&E Reprographics, we provide printing that catches the eye. Get your business noticed with exciting new print marketing and signage. Quality marketing shows the quality service we know you provide. Stop by one of our three great locations or call 442-9116. Get your business noticed with A&E Reprographics today.
Waters Garden companion plants in May are Indian hawthorn, purple robe locust, Prescott sunshine geraniums, and vining akebia.
Akebia is a super vigorous vine with dangling, fragrant flowers.
She proliferates up arbors, pergolas, fences, and stunning as a ground cover to retain hills.
One of the fastest growing evergreen vines you can plant in the gardens.
You only find the hardiest vines at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
Good news from Roxanne at Prescott Brewing Company. If you've been missing any of your faves from Prescott Brewing Company, we now have 11 beers on tap for growler fills. Wednesdays through Fridays, 11 to 3 p.m., you can get them filled up right from our taps. Come through the clearly marked atrium gate, stay socially distant, step up to the bar when it's your turn, get your clean growler filled, pay your tab, tip your tap tender, and walk away with that potion you love through the exit atrium gate. Wednesdays through Fridays for now, 11 to 3, from Prescott Brewing Company in the heart of downtown Prescott.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
All right, well, I told you I was going to tell you what I learned. And so aside from all these things that I've talked about, you know, I've been doing this now for 35 years here in the Prescott area. And I've seen a lot in those 35 years. We've had good times and bad times. We had the Challenger, the Challenger disaster. We've had, the World Series 2001 Diamondbacks. I mean, there's been all kinds of things, good and bad, that have happened. This pandemic is certainly bad, but, in some ways, not really as bad as going through a horrible civil war like we did in the 1860s. But I'll tell you one thing that I've learned, and I'm putting this into practice, and that is we are in a civil war right now within this country. I'm going to vote Republican. I want everybody listening to vote Republican. To me, the Democrats are lying. I think they're bought and paid for by the Chinese. I think they've done a terrible job of mismanaging. And I think in some ways they're actually cheering for our country to fail so they can take over on what I call a scorched earth policy, where basically you ruin the country and then try to blame the people in charge so that you can then take it over and stand there with your hands on your hips and your fancy fridge and your awesome ice cream with people crapping on the sidewalk and proclaim, I'm the king of the castle and you're the dirty rascal and I'm going to make you stay home. I don't care because I've got my government check and you are going to do what I say. So I'm going to tell you right now, you want to be ruled like that? I don't. So I'm voting Republican. I'm voting for Donald Trump. I'm supporting him. I want you to support him. And thank you for listening, because far as I'm concerned, there is no choice. There is no choice. This is a matter of life and death. And the Republicans are offering us life. Thanks again to Arizona Senate President Karen Fan for being my guest. Mark Levin is coming up next, live here on KQ&A, AM 1130, 99.9, and 95.5. I'll be back tomorrow with sports. In the meantime, have a safe Thursday, everybody.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Genesis Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's Restaurant, Cliff Castle Casino, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, Olson's for Healthy Animals, Cottonwood Area Transit, and Gettles High Desert Mechanical. The views on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.